Okay, let's get into it. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This is where we break down the really tough business concepts, the ones that frankly separate the companies that are thriving from the ones just sort of surviving, and we turn them into essential knowledge for you. Today, we're tackling what might be the single most crucial filter in modern business, and that's lead scoring. I mean, generating leads is really only half the battle, right?
Not even half sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. We've all seen the research, and it's pretty consistent. Sales teams often fail, not because they're short on leads, but because they are wasting, 50 to 80% of their day just chasing the wrong ones.
And that is the core frustration point for B2B. I mean, the sheer volume of contacts flowing into your system, it can be paralyzing. You've got content downloads, contact forms, everything. Lead scoring, it's not just a nice to have. It's the essential intelligence layer.
It's the filter.
It's the filter, exactly. The thing that separates all that noisy traffic from a real high-value opportunity.
And when it's done right, the results are, well, they're powerful. You see conversion rates improve dramatically. You shorten those sales cycles that can be so agonizingly long. And I think this is the most important part. You get real, sustainable alignment between marketing and sales. So our mission today for you listening is to just cut through all the complexity. We're going to dive deep into what lead scoring actually is, why it's a total non-negotiable in B2B, and give you the blueprint for building a system that turns all those contacts into predictable revenue. So let's start with the basics, the groundwork. What are we actually talking about?
Well, put simply, lead scoring is your systematic cheat sheet for ranking prospects. You're just assigning a numerical score. And that score is based on specific attributes and their behaviors.
And the goal is pretty straightforward.
Yeah, the goal is to make sure 100% of your effort is focused on the prospects who have the highest potential value. It's about focus.
And that focus is just so vital in B2B.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we aren't selling impulse buys here. B2B environments have these unique challenges that lead scoring has to solve. For one, the buying timeline is just long. We're talking weeks, sometimes months.
And you need to sustain that engagement.
You have to.
Yeah.
And second, the decision is rarely made by just one person. It almost always involves multiple stakeholders. You've got a champion, an economic buyer, the end users.
All with different priorities.
All with different priorities and different levels of influence that you have to weigh.
And this is so crucial. Just because someone downloads your white paper, that doesn't mean they're ready to buy this week. You could have a perfect fit, but if their behavior is cold, they are not a sales-ready lead.
Exactly. And without that filter, you get what we call the cost of treating all leads the same. Just think about the chaos that creates.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah. When every single lead, whether it's a high school student or a CEO, gets sent straight to sales, your reps waste so much time chasing noise. Follow-up is inconsistent, conversion rates just tank, and worst of all, sales completely loses confidence in marketing.
That's the killer right there, the erosion of trust. I mean, I've seen organizations just paralyzed by that friction. Marketing is shouting, we gave you 500 leads.
And sales is shouting back, yes, and 480 of them were garbage.
Right.
Lead scoring is the antidote to that.
Yeah.
Because it forces alignment. It makes both teams actually sit down and agree on three fundamental things. One, what a truly qualified lead looks like. Mm-hmm. Two, the exact score when they become sales ready.
And three,
how are you going to measure that readiness with objective data, that shared definition of success? That's what makes the whole engine work.
Okay, so if alignment is the goal, where does this system actually, you know, fit into the day-to-day? Because scoring supports the qualification process, right? It doesn't replace it.
That's a great point. It doesn't replace it. So let's trace the five steps of the roadmap. Step one is just lead generation, the inflow.
The top of the funnel.
Top of the funnel. Contacts come in from a download, a conference, a form. They've raised their hand for something, but their intent is still pretty unclear. Then step two, and this is where so many systems fail, data enrichment and normalization. You absolutely cannot skip this.
Why not?
Because if your data is incomplete, if job titles are misspelled, company sizes are blank, your scores will be completely misleading. You're building a system on a really shaky foundation. You have to clean and enrich the data before you score anything.
Garbage in, garbage out. Makes perfect sense. Okay, then we hit step three.
Step three is lead scoring itself. This is the evaluation. Assigning points based on who they are, their fit, and what they're doing, their intent.
And after they're scored.
Step four is defining the qualification thresholds. This is the handoff. Once a lead hits a certain score, they get a new status. MQL, Marketing Qualified Lead, or SL, Sales Accepted Lead.
Let's pause on that for a sec. The difference between an MQL and an SL, That's where the fights start, right?
It can be.
MQL is marketing saying, hey, based on the score, this lead looks ready.
Right.
But SL is sales saying, I agree. I accept this and I commit to following up. That acceptance feels like the real critical point.
It is the critical point. It turns a theoretical score into a real organizational commitment. And that leads right into step five. Sales outreach or nurture. High-scoring leads, those SALs, they go to sales. Lower-scoring leads, they stay in automated nurture flows until their behavior says they're truly ready.
Okay, so if the scoring step is the engine, then the fuel has to be these two key ingredients. And I think this distinction between fit and intent is probably the most powerful concept in all of this.
It really is. Let's start with fit. We define this using demographic and firmographic scoring. So this is all about whether the lead matches your ideal customer profile, your ICP.
So we're talking about things like job title, company size.
Exactly. The static stuff. Job title, seniority, company size, industry, location.
So fit is basically answering the question, if this person bought from us, how valuable would they be?
That's a perfect way to put it. It's their potential lifetime value. So a director of infrastructure at a 500-person tech company might get, say, a plus 40 for fit. An IT manager at a small accounting firm, maybe a plus 10. Fit tells you if they're even worth pursuing long term.
Okay, so that's fit. What about the other side?
The other side is behavioral scoring, or intent. This is all about what the lead is actively doing right now. These are dynamic actions, visiting your website, downloading content, clicking emails, and this is where you spot the high intent stuff.
And what's the difference between just general interest and a real high intent action?
Well, general interest is visiting your blog once a month. High intent is visiting the pricing page 3 times in a week, or reading a case study about a specific integration, or obviously filling out a demo request form.
Right, the stuff that signals they're in a consideration stage.
Exactly. And the key takeaway here is that the absolute best leads, the ones you want sales to call immediately, they score high in both categories, high fit and high intent.
Because if you only have fit, you've just got a cold lead.
And if you only have intent, you might have someone who loves your content but can't actually afford your product.
This maps directly to the data types we collect, right? Explicit versus implicit.
It does. Explicit data is what they tell you directly. On a form, for example. It's static and it defines fit. Their job title, their company size.
Whereas implicit data is their behavior.
It's what you observe. It's dynamic. It reflects their interest, their engagement. And here's the insight you have to remember. In B2B, implicit signals often matter way more for determining when to act. You might have a CEO perfect fit, but if they haven't been on your site in 6 months, they need nurturing, not a sales call. Timing based on intent is everything.
Timing is everything. Okay, so let's unpack the actual systems for assigning these scores, because there's more than one way to build the model.
Right. The vast majority of companies start with what's called points-based scoring. It's the most traditional model. Simple, transparent.
You just add and subtract points.
Exactly. Leads earn or lose points. So, plus 15 for being in the right industry, plus 20 for a demo request, maybe minus 10 for being an intern. Qualification happens when they cross a threshold, say 75 points.
Okay, simple enough. What else is there?
Then you have threshold-based scoring. This is much stricter. It's often used when getting a new client is really complex or expensive. A lead has to meet specific mandatory criteria.
So it's not just about adding up points.
No, it's more like a checklist. For example, they might need a company size over 200 employees, AND, a director level title AND,
yeah,
at least 3 high intent actions in the last 30 days. It cuts down on false positives, but you get less volume.
So you're ruthlessly protecting sales time, basically.
Absolutely. It's about a very narrow target.
Okay.
And then finally, you have the more advanced stuff, predictive lead scoring.
Machine learning.
Yep. This uses machine learning and historical data to find patterns in your past conversions. It's powerful because it adapts. It figures out which combinations of actions, even really subtle ones, reliably lead to a closed deal.
Can you give me a real example of something a predictive model might find that a manual one would miss?
Sure. A manual system might give, say, 20 points for viewing the pricing page. A predictive model might analyze thousands of deals and discover a much more specific pattern, like prospects who buy almost always view the pricing page 3 times in a 72-hour window after downloading the implementation guide.
Wow, okay. You could never set that rule manually.
Impossible.
Yeah.
But it's gold for timing your outreach. The big caveat, though, is you need a lot of very, very clean data for predictive models to work. They work best layered on top of a foundational manual model.
That makes total sense. Now let's talk about reality. I mean, implementation gets messy. What are the common mistakes you see that just kill conversion rates?
The first one, and it's a big one, is overscoring vanity actions, giving way too many points for things that signal interest, but not readiness.
Like a LinkedIn follow.
A LinkedIn follow, or downloading a super basic intro PDF. I saw a client give 50 points for that. Their sales team almost revolted because they were just chasing researchers all day. That's interest, not intent.
You're just generating false positives.
Exactly. The second mistake is one that gets neglected a lot, ignoring negative scoring. Scoring isn't just about adding points. You have to subtract them.
To weed people out.
To prevent false positives. You must subtract points for unsubscribes, for long periods of inactivity, maybe take off 10 points after 90 days of silence. If you only ever add points, every lead eventually becomes an MQL.
And the third mistake is the result of those first two, right? Sending leads to sales too early.
That's the consequence. A premature handoff frustrates sales. It burns that alignment we talked about. And you can actually kill a good lead before they're ready. The whole point is to protect sales time, not just dump more volume on them.
And when you get it right.
When you get it right, you remove the guesswork. Sales reps can personalize their outreach. Hey, I noticed you were looking at our API docs. And they shorten sales cycles because they're engaging people at the absolute peak of their readiness.
So let's zoom out. What does this look like for the long-term business strategy? This isn't just a sales tool, is it? It feels more like a full funnel optimization tool.
That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
When you connect this to the bigger picture, the benefits really stretch across the whole customer journey. For one, your marketing teams suddenly have this incredible power that can segment audiences so much more effectively.
Based on readiness and fit at the same time?
At the same time, which means your messaging can be hyper-personalized. It can align perfectly with where that prospect is in their buying journey.
So leads with high fit but low intent get educational content.
Right, about the problem space.
Yeah.
And leads with high intent but maybe a shaky fit get pricing info.
And it lets you nurture at the right pace. You're not annoying them with too much communication, and you're not doing that premature sales outreach that kills the deal.
Yeah. And ultimately, it just enables predictable, scalable growth that's driven by quality, not just raw volume. You go from this reactive model where sales chases whatever comes in to a proactive, intentional revenue engine.
So if we just strip it all back, the fundamental insight is that lead scoring creates a shared language.
A shared language and a shared reality between marketing and sales.
It's that consistent, measurable framework that ensures sales is talking to the right people, marketing is spending its money attracting the right people, and growth just becomes sustainable.
Okay, so we've covered the systematic nature of lead scoring, the two pillars of fit and intent, the critical importance of timing, and the alignment it creates across the organization. This isn't theoretical stuff. This is foundational B2B strategy.
It absolutely is. And as we close out, here's a final thought for you to think about. Our sources are all very clear that these models have to be updated regularly. Buyer behavior changes, products change, markets change.
Right. It's not set it and forget it. Definitely not. Which raises this really crucial operational question. We know predictive models adapt on their own, but how often should a smaller B2B team that's relying on a points-based or a threshold model actually dedicate real time, I'm talking a day or two, to auditing their scores?
To make sure they're not relying on old signals.
Exactly. You have to make sure you aren't still giving points for attending a webinar you retired 6 months ago, or worse, that you're sending your very expensive sales team down these automated low-yield rabbit holes. When was the last time you really, truly challenged your definition of qualified?
So a good question to ask yourself is, in your industry today, what data points signal the most urgency? And are you actually giving them the weight they deserve? That's where the real deep dive begins for your own business. Thanks for tuning in.